If not deceived, I believe I can tell you that Kathy and I are thankful to be here. In not knowing doubting myself, but not knowing if what I have on my mind is of the Lord, you get a little bit restless in that. I don't get nervous in looking out among the faces here. In fact, I relish it. Because I need to speak to you. I need to preach the gospel to you. And as Brother Billy said, God knows the message that you need. And through one message, it can be many messages. I've seen that happen. God's in it. Now, what calms me down in this and gives me delight is thinking about the calmness, the firmness of God Almighty at this very moment, always. As much as our lives can be stirred up, for good and bad, He is not budging. He's there. I want to go to the book of Jeremiah, Prophet Jeremiah, bring some thoughts out of this, Lord willing. Told Brother David, if he'll pray for me while I'm up here beforehand, I'll pray for him after I sit down. And I will. The first couple of verses of this book of Jeremiah, mentions Jeremiah a little bit and who he came from and so forth. And then when he came, the book of Jeremiah is not just laid out chronologically. Jeremiah prophesied in Judah, southern kingdom, under the reign of a couple of different main kings. One good, one not good. But just in the small verse of the fourth verse, turns from the kings and from Jeremiah. It says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying." So Jeremiah had the word of the Lord. And very familiar verse, the fifth verse, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." So before he was even formed in the womb, God knew it. So that tells us that. I know that's not the end of the sentence, but he knew him. Then he says, "And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee." And I'll go ahead and say, Jeremiah, read of his prophecy and his life and so forth, and we'll get into some of that, but Jeremiah, his soul and spirit right now is in heaven. He's a sinner saved by grace, just like the rest of us. So I think about this fifth verse. Then he says, "I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." The situation here is not good. But God called Jeremiah to be a prophet. Sanctified him and ordained him prophet unto the nations. And his prophecy affected several nations here. So then Jeremiah says here, "Then said I, Ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. Now he was, I think he was about 20 years old. As a parent, I can relate to that as a 20-year-old child, still being a child. But that's where he was. So Jeremiah said, no, all Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And I want to look at what, not only what God gave to Jeremiah, but some of his other prophets. And I keep thinking about the Apostle Paul in the first chapter of Galatians as well. It says, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Jeremiah is not going to have a good message. He didn't. He had God's message. It wasn't positive, I should say. Because of Israel. Because of Jerusalem, Judah, and all. But he would, where he sends him, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Then he says, be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in my mouth. God was with him. We can bring this through to the other prophets, of course, and we see that. But even into the apostles' time and in their gifts and ministers of the gospel. And we must, as ministers, feel the closeness of God in our lives. Just about the time you take a breath, then something else comes up. And you need to fall on the mercy of God again. Because it's beyond us. It's beyond us to do anything. And when you see the ramifications of your actions in the church that Jesus Christ Himself set up, then there's some importance there. The gospel message. Jeremiah's message was important. Judah was not going to receive it. God already knew that. You think he didn't know that this prophet that he was going to send to prophesy in Judah, do we think he didn't know? God didn't know and realize that they were not going to accept his prophecy? He knew, and yet he still had this message for him. And he touched his mouth. He gave him the words that he would speak there. I see in a different way today that God must do that. And it's not only in the preaching service. It is how we speak to people, to the saints of God. When I, as a minister or as a pastor, speak to one of either the members at my home church or someone else, I need to realize and remember they are a saint. They are separated and made holy by God Almighty, by the blood of Christ, and then vitally by the Holy Ghost. That's who I'm speaking to. And that God loves them, you, just as he loved and even foreloved Jeremiah. Before he formed him in the belly, he knew it. Then the Lord put forth his hand, touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down and to destroy and to throw down. And there's two more descriptive terms, to build and to plant. And this was going to Jeremiah prophesied, I'll just remind you, during the fall of Judah, before the Babylonian captivity, during it, and then after Jeremiah. This is when I think that I'm suffering a little bit in serving God and trying to preach the gospel. No. Jeremiah's message was not going to be heard or accepted by Israel, and he would end up seeing the captivity that he prophesied. But they wouldn't listen. In the 25th chapter of Jeremiah, 25, so he prophesied during Josiah's reign, the good king, for I believe it was maybe around 18 years. And Josiah's son, Jehoiakim, he was placed in there as king, and he was not a good king. He would not listen to Jeremiah. Now here's a description of these prophets of God. In the fourth verse of the 25th chapter, and the Lord hath sent unto you all his servants, the prophets. These were the servants of God. And what did they do? What do we find? What do we see in the Old Testament? And then we read in the New Testament is they killed them. They killed them. This is God's chosen people. This was when I begin to think that today, and I realize there's evil, wickedness, and again, God said evildoers will wax worse and worse. Is he shaking? No. No, he's not. Please remember that. As you go through things, as you experience things, remember that God is not moving. He will not move. But these are his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them. But ye have not hearkened nor inclined your ear to hear. God did not just inadvertently and just haphazardly punish Israel for the things, they deserve what they receive, their chastisement, and they're still the promised people of God. And yet, in his love for them, he would punish them, chastise them. I felt that myself. Says that in the fifth verse then, they said, turn ye again now every one from his evil way and from the evil of your doings and dwell in the land that the Lord hath given unto you and to your fathers forever and ever, and go not after other gods to serve them and to worship them and provoke me not to anger with the works of your hands, and I will do you no hurt. God says, this is what's going to happen. I will do you no hurt. He promises his people this, but they hearken not to his voice. In the 36th chapter of Jeremiah, won't go through all of this, but Jeremiah was told to have, is it Baruch? I'm afraid to pronounce names back in our discussion earlier, etc. But Baruch, anyway, he was supposed to pin down in a scroll, all these words of Jeremiah. And he did that. He did that. And then they were read and all. And then so this king, Jehoiakim, in the... Well, anyway, Jehoiakim was in his chambers, had a fire going. He had him burn those words. Still, is God moving? Is he has he changed in any way? No. And so he then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah again, 27th verse, that the king had burned the roll and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, and he wrote them again. The word of God and is going to survive. The gospel is going to survive until Jesus Christ comes again. If we want to see a bad, negative, wicked, sinful, depraved time, we can go to the night that Jesus was arrested. The depravity that was there at that time. And we know the sufferings of Jesus up to the sufferings on the cross, at taking on the wrath of His Father, God Almighty. But when He was arrested, the Sanhedrin had already determined He must die. The sentence was given at that point. Today, it hasn't gotten that bad. But what we do is look at that finished work of Jesus Christ there and what these prophets foretold there. In this 26th verse right above that, in looking again at some, as we can see more about the Lord, but the king commanded Jeremiel, the son of Amalek, and Zerah, the son of Ezreel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdeel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet, but the Lord hid them. The Lord knows when we need to be hidden, and He hides us. But I tell you what, He will touch the mouths of His servants, touch the prophet's mouth, and gave them the words to speak, and they did that. Jeremiah then, in seeing, he saw that Israel was not accepting his prophecy. The situation there at the time was that Babylon is on one side, Egypt is on the other, and they're vying for this buffer, Judah, in between. Finally, Babylon had enough. And taken captive and all. God even says 70 years it's going to be that you'll be in captivity. Jeremiah ended up being taken to Egypt, and where I believe he died in Egypt. And many of the kings would look to Egypt for assistance. We're not to look to Egypt or to Babylon for help. We look to God Almighty Himself. He will bless. Let me go to Galatians, the first chapter, and read a bit about the Apostle Paul. Galatians chapter 1. And he had used some similar wording to Jeremiah, but he begins this epistle here to the Galatians. Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. The 10th verse, he asks a couple of questions. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Jeremiah did not seek to please men. He spoke the words that God gave him and commanded him to speak, knowing and seeing that Judah would go into captivity. I think of Jonah, the prophet. Though he took just a quick detour, wrong turn, but he ended up at Nineveh. And preached what he was to preach. And I can't imagine coming somewhere and thinking that the congregation might not accept the words of Jesus Christ, of the gospel, if I speak those. But Jonah preached there at Nineveh, that great city, and they accepted his words, and they changed. I guess he would have been happy and thankful. No, he was angry that they, because this was a wicked people and heathens and so forth. And so Jonah was upset at that. I think of Hosea, his life. He was told in his life, literally, who to marry, who to take as a wife, and so forth. And that situation of his prophecy, his life, showed the scenario or the situation of Israel itself. And yet it shows that the redemption in Christ Jesus through that. So this is Hosea. Hosea lived that life in service to God. I think of Malachi. Malachi, he had to tell the priest, the high priest there, that they were sacrificing lame and sick sacrifices. They were not giving God the best. Why they would think that God would not realize this and not send a messenger, but he sent this last messenger, Malachi. And then he prophesied the messenger of the great messenger, John the Baptist. And then I think of Haggai, that he encouraged the rebuilding of the temple. You live in your sealed houses, and yet the temple lies waste. And he encouraged them. Nehemiah, he prophesied, and there things were accepted of these prophets the building the walls. They had to hold weapons while they rebuilt these walls of Jerusalem there. Temple not being rebuilt yet. I think it was Brother Jeb mentioned the weeping prophet, Jeremiah. He loved these people. When a minister of the gospel speaks to God's people, we need to do that in love. We need to speak in the love of God. When we handle things in the church, we need to do it in the love of God. The saints of God, members of the bride of Christ, deserve nothing less through the mercy and grace of God Almighty. But Jeremiah loved those people. He did weep for them. He cared for them. I'm sure he thought to himself, picture myself laying awake at night and being worried and concerned about things that I can't do anything about. What can I do or say to convince Judah, Israel, to accept this prophecy? He wept for this. He loved these people there. I think about Amos, the prophet Amos, who was in the southern kingdom of Judah, was sent up to the northern kingdom, to Bethel, and to prophesy against them out of his own country there. He felt out of place. So then when he was prophesying stuff they were glad to hear, they were okay with that. When he changed toward them, then they changed their tune. So then the priest, told Amos, you need to get back to your country now. And did Amos storm off mad? No. He said, my father was not a prophet. I wasn't a prophet. I was a gatherer of sycamore fruit, a herdman. That's all I was. But God called him and he used him. God will call who he will call. Then he will prepare that person, that man, to serve him as they should. Yeah, we have to be in constant prayer. We have to study God's Word. We have to talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ and in the church. And I'm thankful for that. And we need to go and hear preaching of the gospel to edify us that we will serve Him effectively and adequately and give our best, not our lame or sickly sacrifices, that we give our best. In saying that, I'm hypocritical. But God is merciful, isn't He? God is merciful, He's gracious, and He will bless us. But we strive to do this. Please continue to pray for the church itself. I know the church will exist until Jesus Christ come again. I pray that I'm close to a local body, that I'm able to go. I don't have that promise. I don't have that promise. And so I'm closer to a church house right now than I ever have been in my life. And I'm thankful for that. But I pray that if I am like Jeremiah, Malachi, Haggai, Nehemiah, and finally Jonah, and I go where He would have me to go. It's that important. It doesn't save us eternally if I don't go somewhere. That doesn't have an effect. I don't negate the work of Jesus Christ. But if He has a loved one that He foreknew and that He has chosen them, and they need to hear a message, then I need to be willing to go and preach to them, speak to them. I need to do that. And yet we hold each other up in prayer. We hold each other's arms up when we grow weary and when we get distracted in our lives. And we do. Somebody was talking about, I mean, it might have been last night, somebody talking about Satan dangling these things or these temptations and so forth, distractions. And he knows exactly what it is that he needs to use on you at that moment. And he'll do it. But we have someone who is sitting on His throne, and at the right hand of the Majesty on high is Jesus Christ Himself. God knows when He will send Jesus Christ to come again and not to set foot on this earth, but to call our names, and so that we can forever be with the Lord God Almighty. We'll be with our loved ones. I miss them, but I want to see my Redeemer and my Savior. I want to see that one. We see Him here. In fact, He's in our midst so often, and He should be when we meet with Him. And we see through this prophecy of Jeremiah the closeness of God and the care He has for His servants, the prophets, and for us, I believe. I need that, and so that I can withstand the wiles of the devil. Let's continue to stand firm in God Almighty, in Jesus Christ, in our lives, because we will be in heaven. Not that we will work our way there through that chapter in Matthew where Brother Rick was today. No, we won't work our way. We never make it, but we will because of Jesus Christ. Praise and honor be to His name. May God bless you. Amen.